Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Mint Mobile. Okay, raise your hand if you were on your parents' phone plan and then grew up and eventually got that call letting you know it was time to leave the nest and secure your own, only to realize that wireless plans be expensive. Well, same, or if this has never happened to you, then spoilers, but Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online, meaning they don't have retail stores or salespeople. Instead, they deliver premium phone plans directly to you. And let me tell you what, guys, we just finished our first ever tour and hit about 25% of the United States, and the service was perfect throughout the entire journey, and I'm saving like $240 per year compared to my old plan. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/poppop. That's mintmobile.com/poppop. Cut your wireless plan to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/poppop.
Bob of the morning, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture. As always, I'm your one true host, Jazzy J, joined as usual by my brother, the one true co-host, Buzzy Benjamin B. How's it going, Ben?
It's going terrifically. Excited to be back yet again. It's been a great month. You know, I've been able to carve so much time out of my just incredibly busy schedule to come on down and you know, sit in
for be on the show.
V sesh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good times. It's good times. Honestly, good times. You know, it's a bit of a break, too. You know, like, I mean, there's always such responsibility and everything, you know. So it's like when I host my show, that is
right.
You
yeah,
because I'm usually a host over on my show.
Usually,
we're on a hiatus, but we'll be back. Not to worry. Yeah, but no, it's been nice to come in. I feel like you get to like shoulder some of the additional responsibilities and everything, and you know, it's nice to be on the other end.
Yeah.
Yeah. So exciting stuff.
Super. Do you want to hear a corny joke?
Certainly.
All right. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
It's gonna be great. You're going to love
okay.
it. Ready?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. A Buddhist monk walks into a bar and says to the bartender, "Make me one with everything."
Make me one with everything.
That's the whole joke.
Make me one with everything.
Make me one with everything.
So it's not a beverage. No. It's a philosophy.
It's a Long Island iced tea.
Oh, no. Yeah. Man, Long Island iced tea. I don't know if this happens to anybody else. It may be the first cocktail that was ever explained to me at all.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's like, I think for like a little while, I would go to the bar and like upon turning 21 in college, a place called Sharky's.
Oh, yeah, dude, yeah. I know it well.
Yeah. Yeah. There was one in Radford too.
Yeah. There's two Sharky's, one at Radford, one at Tech. There might be more. Those are the ones I know about.
Right. Yeah. Been to both of them.
Been to both.
I like the cold sweat sauce. That's the wing sauce of choice.
The cold sweat
cold
sauce.
Cold sweat. Yeah, yeah.
I was like, is that a drink? Cause it sounds terrible.
No. You can't name a beverage after sweat.
No. Yeah.
It's a known fact.
Yeah,
not acceptable. But I do remember for one hot second, like it's so funny as you go through like your foray into like the realm of cocktails and mixed drinks and beverages and such.
Yeah,
where like I think that my first in every scenario are all things I'm not terrifically proud of.
Yeah,
where I think the first ever beverage that I ordered at a bar was also Sharky's, was a Bud Light Lime.
That's fine.
Commendable. Okay.
That's fine.
Reasonable.
Yeah.
The thing is it's not that I would pass judgment over the Bud Light Lime. I just probably wouldn't drink it now.
Well, they're not, are they even still around?
I don't even know if they're still around. To be fair, a Corona with a lime in it
that's exactly what they were trying to make.
It is exactly what they're trying to make. It is splendid. Which is not the worst. So
I had one this weekend.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Nice. Way to go. Were you doing yard work?
Actually, no, I was watching basketball.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes. Well, I was going to say, it feels like a Corona with lime feels like the exact right way to cap off a day of like hard sweat.
No doubt about that. And I would definitely talk about all of the hard sweat later for sure. Yeah.
Okay. But so anyway, So for a spell here. Yeah. So that was my first thing. The first bottle I ever bought from like the ABC store was Southern Comfort.
Oh.
Also frequently called SoCo.
Totally fine.
SoCo with lime, which I think is probably one of the other beverages I knew at that time. Which that's like one of those where it's like I've had it in too many of the wrong capacities.
Yeah.
And it's like I don't think I could drink it now. Like that one's just done.
It's just done.
It's marked off the board.
Right.
It's like it may as well be poison.
I've got a few drinks like that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But otherwise the final one was the Long Island iced tea, which basically is just give me one of everything. And I feel like now if I went to the bar with somebody and they ordered a Long Island iced tea, I'd be like, "Do you have a tough week or everything okay?"
I know,
like,
yeah,
you like, know, because it's a stiff drink.
What in the circumstances? It seems like outside of like college or your 21st birthday, like you're rarely going to the bar and ordering a Long Island iced tea just because, like, I'm just a connoisseur.
But this is the thing. Like, I think it's so easy when it comes to cocktails to like settle into a rhythm a little bit of like what you know. I mean, part of the fun is to experiment with something new and just be like, "Oh, this is cool." Like, you know, it's like a diversity of flavor.
Yes,
you know that you can get. That I don't think exists in many other capacities.
Where you can order the same thing at different places and get different results.
Which often, like, you know, like when I go to like a brewery nowadays, like I would order like the IPA.
Yeah.
And it's like a lot of times, like I'm assessing like the quality of the brewery on their IPA.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Whenever, like my go-to cocktail these days is usually just an old fashioned wherever I'm at. So it's like whenever, it's like part of me is like, do I want to try a new drink here? Or I'm like, no, you know what? Because the old fashioned will be slightly different everywhere I go, but everywhere is still has the same like general flavor profile. I'm just looking for like, where can I get the best old fashioned?
Exactly. Right. Yeah. It is remarkable though, how it's like you have the same small handful of ingredients put into the same container over and over and over again. And yet the results are vastly different.
I know,
different.
Just always just a little bit different. My other like favorite cocktail that I don't order as much, and it almost feels like it's in a class of its own. Like, I suppose, a margarita is a cocktail. Right. It doesn't seem like it, does it?
It doesn't seem like it.
Right.
It seems so, which is to say all like even an old fashioned, they always have the same ingredients.
Yeah.
And margarita has the same ingredients. But like, I guess the question is, do you need to have more than two ingredients to be a cocktail? Or is it just like a mixed drink?
I mean, a cocktail, I think there's more than two ingredients in a margarita, right?
I think of like the sours and the tequila.
I normally think of like, if you like when we make one at the house, there is like tequila and orange curacao and lime juice.
Okay. So maybe it is a cocktail.
Yeah.
Maybe it depends, like
highballs are cocktails, like a bourbon ginger is a cocktail.
That's where I feel like I can't decide. Like, I mean, it's, you're splitting hairs for sure. 100% splitting hairs. I'm just curious whether or not a distinction occurs at any point in time where it's like, what is the difference between a mixed drink and a cocktail? Or is there one?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. There's restaurants will have like signature cocktails. And normally what those means are these are the expensive ones is how I like typically understand it or whatever. Because normally at any restaurant, you can order whatever drink you want and they'll make it for you. But it's probably faster for them and they can like make more money if you order off their specifically signature cocktail one. And it's better for the branding. So what'd you find out?
Well, let me see. Yeah. So a mixed drink has a minimum of two ingredients. But once you get to a third ingredient, it's a cocktail.
Okay, so I would say a margarita is a cocktail.
Okay, so a margarita is a cocktail.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So I'm just prefacing it. It's not my second favorite cocktail. Isn't just margarita. It is a jalapeno margarita.
Oh, you got that spice.
You got the spice in there. Yeah. Normally, it means you have like a spicy rim too, instead of the salt.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But I feel a little silly sometimes ordering it at places that aren't like Mexican restaurants. But this past weekend, I did exactly that. We were at this new restaurant in Roanoke called Six and Sky, which is actually on the roof of Center in the Square.
Yeah, where the aquariums are. Yeah.
And consequently where Beth and I got married. So if you're ever in Roanoke and you want like, good dinner and you get a little Carlin history in you, you know,
right.
You can just head up to the roof, Six and Sky.
Right. You got married right there.
I got married right there. You can see the spot. It's fantastic. Yeah. It was great. It's not, I don't think you can do that anymore because now it's a restaurant. But anyway, so my first cocktail was in fact the house old fashioned, which they called a blood orange old fashioned, which like the old fashions already have orange peel into them, so I don't know how different it possibly could have been. But they put blood in the title, which made it fun.
Well, there is a blood orange.
I know, there's a blood orange.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
I guess they're just using this orange instead of a regular orange.
Maybe so. Yeah. Maybe a little bit more bitter.
It was good. But then for round two, like, everyone at the table is like trying to like figure out, you know, what are they going to get? What's different? And we had been discussing what are our favorite drinks to get at other places, and I brought up, oh, have you gotten a jalapeno margarita at this other place? And I was like, the guy came up and I was like, could you make a jalapeno margarita? And he gave me a look like, no one has ever asked me that in the history of working here. Of course, it's only been open like 3 weeks, so not a huge ask. But sure enough, he was like, we have jalapenos, we can do it. And they brought me one, and it was actually amazing. And I was so good. And I was super happy about it. But the whole time I was like, it feels like there's an atmosphere for this drink, and I'm not at it, but I still want it.
I wanted it.
I got it.
I don't think you can go wrong. I mean I have like a huge guilty pleasure for a margarita. I love them.
This
so
is the
much
thing. Yes, yeah, there's like, I don't know if there's something, I don't, do you like, there's something where it felt like outside of the con, like, there's nothing wrong with having a margarita ever. Everyone, there's like the most beloved drink,
sure,
I think. But it does seem like there's like, it feels like unmasculine to order them in certain scenarios.
Ooh.
Or something. Do you feel that?
No. I think I am vaguely aware of the sentiment that like could exist.
Okay.
And I ignore it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But so, okay.
I don't care.
Let me say that. Is there a certain, like, if you were at like a steakhouse, would it feel out of place to order a margarita?
Potentially, but like I think that would have to do more to me with the cuisine.
Well, sure. Doesn't pair well.
It doesn't pair well. I think that's like, so, but I don't think what would halt me necessarily, like, I don't think I would order a steak and a margarita together, because I think that would seem like an odd pairing to me. But
I was having seafood at this place.
That's okay. That's okay to me. Yeah,
that seems right there.
Because to me, seafood and like Jimmy Buffett and margaritas are like, it's all,
right.
It's all like a big overlapping Venn diagram. Were you eating, like, I know it's called Six and Sky, were you eating outside?
I was eating outside.
Oh, then always acceptable.
Okay. Any outdoor seating,
if you're outside, margarita is 100% acceptable.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, you're not going to fight. I'm not going to fight you in a margarita.
I'm not. I mean, I didn't find anything wrong with it either. And I wouldn't, like, I don't care if you order a margarita whenever you want.
Right.
I don't know where it comes from, but like this, like, feeling when I'm ordering it scenarios, like, this is like sort of a weird thing to ask for, because there's a certain like vibe that goes with a margarita, which is weird. Well, I guess maybe if you were at like a beach party though, drinking an old fashioned, it might also seem weird.
That's it's like, if you're out of place for anything, it's kind of like, it's like, well, you know.
Yeah, okay. Example, we were at a JMU football game many years ago before the children were around anything, and you know, we had like a tailgate set up with some, it was like a little reunion for Beth and all of her, like, you know, friends who'd all come together to come to the game together,
right? Yeah,
or whatever.
Yep.
And we're sitting there, and you know, you have like, you know, like everyone's got like beers, and you know, I think there might have even been some like Jello shots. And like one of the girls had brought her boyfriend, and he was like mixing up like just regular old martinis, and it was just like, well, it doesn't necessarily feel like tailgate food. But
sure. This feels like someone's party trick that like absolutely slaps under the right circumstances. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, is this that circumstance?
Is
though?
That the circumstance?
Yeah, because it seems like did he have like martini glasses?
He had martini glasses.
Okay, to me, a martini glass doesn't feel like it would hold up to heat well. Mm. Like, it's got like too much surface area, which to me makes me think that like the drink would get rather warm rather quickly.
Yeah, I mean, he had the shakers and the ice and stuff. I'm sure it was cold. I'm sure he enjoyed it. I didn't have one.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
But
it's anyway. Like, to me, it's almost like filling like a Frisbee with like a little bit of like fluid and setting it in the sun. It's sort of like, how long does it take before that fluid is like, become hot or at the very least warm.
Yeah. Like, how necessary is it that your beverage match your environment?
Well, so like the old fashioned, for example, I think is interesting, because it's like, in my mind, it is like mandated to be seated while having an old fashioned. Like,
okay.
I would say like, you probably like don't, it's like you should be sitting, like, honestly, the chairs that we're sitting in right now would be good old fashioned chairs.
I mean, I would almost call them old fashioned chairs.
Yeah, they're pretty close. But like, I feel like there's something about like the idea of like, you're sitting down, it's meant to be drank very slowly. It's very conversational.
Okay.
You know, like
let me throw this at you.
Okay, lay it on me.
You're at a Kentucky Derby party, like, which is, you know, might be like a lawn party.
Okay.
You know, people are typically dressed up.
Yeah.
Outdoor occasion feels also appropriate there.
Okay, so maybe because you've added horses now, into horses. The equation.
Horses. Like horses. So old fashioned plus horse equals standing okay.
Standing okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's like very specific circumstances under which standing may be allowed attached to the bourbon based old fashioned is my thoughts.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Especially because like Kentucky like invented.
Anywhere in Kentucky also okay.
Yeah. Pretty much right? As a rule.
If you're
yeah,
inside
yeah.
the state of Kentucky, you can do whatever you want me drinking an old fashioned.
Except operating heavy machinery.
You shouldn't
course.
Do that.
Yeah. 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 But like otherwise. Pretty much, it seems like generally accepted.
Probably not
yeah.
operating a horse either.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe not. Yeah, in this case, a horse is heavy machinery.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 No, that's hilarious. That's hilarious. I think you're okay with your margarita, though. To answer your question, long story long.
Yeah, it was very good, and I'm glad I ordered it.
Right.
And so, you know what? I would encourage you whenever you're out to dinner next, jalapeno margarita. You won't regret it.
You won't regret it.
There you go. It's among my top two favorite cocktails. So.
I love it. I love it. Well done. Yeah. Well done. Now I'm craving a cocktail as well.
Yeah. I mean.
It is, after all, for us, Monday morning at noon.
It is Monday morning at noon. But Ben, as people are listening, it is Friday morning.
Which is basically to say it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
But it also means that the month of May has started.
Oh, there we go.
By the time people are listening to this particular episode, which means that we are, as you're listening to it, 3 days into an event that we are calling Make Jay Grow a Mustache in May.
It's so highly alliterative and I love it. And yeah. I'm so excited for
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
You're joining the legion of facial hair.
Yeah, I know. So like way back, when was it? 2015 or 2016 when we did No Shave November?
November of 2015.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It was like it's the gag we always talk about, but I'm like, they're like, haha, it'd be so fun to see what happened. We did No Shave November / I just want to see what it looked like with facial hair.
I know. So that is the last time I've had an honest go at growing any amount of facial hair.
Okay.
Otherwise, I shave every week multiple times, and you know, I've got a very clean cut look going.
You do.
Yes.
Yeah.
But so for the month of May, how it's going to work is that I'm going to grow a mustache for 1 minute for every new follower I get on Instagram.
Amazing.
And so you might be wondering, like, wait a minute, what if I'm already following you on Instagram? Great question. So first of all, I'm just going to make, because I've already got more than the regular person's following on Instagram.
I guess so.
At this point.
Yeah,
so what I'm going to do is I'm going to make the starting line 70,000. So everything above that will count as new.
Okay.
Just for simplicity's sake in math and stuff or whatever. So I'm already giving you a 4,000 person head start.
Okay.
Which
okay.
is several days head start at this point to get the ball rolling.
How many minutes are in a day?
Like 1400, like a little over 1400.
1400 minutes in a day. Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay. Okay. So this is very interesting.
So yeah. So for every,
but I'm not on Instagram. So is there like a way that I can make you?
So yes, you might too, because a bunch of people are already following my Instagram. So the other thing you can do, is just go to supercarlinbrothers.com and sign up just for our email list. And that will also generate 1 minute of mustache growth on my face.
Okay. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And so, and it's not just the month of May. If the accrued amount of time doing this exceeds the month of May, then I will continue to do it.
Oh my
gosh. If people accrue like 2 years worth of time, I will abide by it.
Okay. I don't think I knew all the rules.
Oh no. Yeah.
I'm so excited.
I mean, cause it occurred to me like it would take a lot of people to accrue enough minutes to surpass a month, but that's what's on the table.
Okay.
You know, so we'll go, but at the end of May, whatever the time is, we will continue forward.
Okay.
But you might be thinking, wait a minute. Is there anything else I can do? And I think yes, because like, and so the answer is absolutely yes. There is something else you can do. And this is the way I really, really hope that you will force the mustache onto my face, is that we are going to be doing a fundraiser during the month of May for the Foundation for Sarcoidosis Research.
Yes. 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 So in a lot of ways, we mustache you for your help.
Yes, we mustache you. Oh, great. We mustache you for your help. So there is a link in the description of the show notes here where you can go to like our fundraiser page. And what I'm going to do here is for every dollar donated, I will also do a minute of mustache growth.
Oh, man.
I set the bar at the fundraiser goal on the page is 10,000. So, but I, you know, if we, again, we can go past it. That's fine.
Okay.
Please go past it. You know, that's the thing. So if you, I'll give you 2 minutes for free by Instagram and email. And if you want to, you can otherwise scale up on the fundraising side of things.
So there's multiple ways for people to interact.
There are.
I'm personally excited as well because our dad also has sarcoidosis.
He does. So. That, if you're wondering, yes, why do we choose sarcoidosis? That is why, because our dad has sarcoidosis and it sucks.
Yep.
If you don't know anything about it, it's basically this kind of like fibrous thing that can just sort of like start growing anywhere like in your body.
Yes.
It's like, that's the sarcoid or whatever. And sometimes it's in a spot where they can just cut you open and slice it off and be like, whew, good, we got it.
Wait, excellent use of cut you open and slice you off.
It's a great, any day is a good day for surgery, right? Yeah, that's the best case scenario is that's what happens.
Yeah.
But a lot of times it will appear on places in your body where they can't just do that. So like our dad, for example, has a very rare case wherein the growth has appeared like on his spine, which super sucks because what happens is then, you know, obviously your spine sends lots of like signals all over your body.
Right.
And so like anytime it like grows at all, it presses on different nerves, which then affect his body in weird ways. So like it started out like he's like couldn't feel his toes. And at this point, it's like sort of like a general numbness from the waist down.
Yeah.
Yeah. To the point where like he can no longer like go on runs.
I know. You know, yeah.
Which sucks because our dad, if you don't know, is like a big marathoner.
He's run Boston twice.
Yeah. Yeah. He's done like over 10 marathons and stuff. And now it's like he just can't go for runs. Like, thankfully, he can still ride his bike.
Yes.
Which he does a lot of. So that's cool. But so, and also very thankfully, they were able to like narrow in on some medicine or some medication that is like, is at least like, seems like it's halted any sort of growth.
Yes.
Of the sarcoid, which is great news, but it's not like it's not doing anything to shrink it either. It's not going away. It's just like maintained,
controlled.
Yes, which is fantastic news. But it's also the medication is not like one size fits all or anything. It doesn't work the same for every single person.
Right.
So that's the kind of thing they're raising money for. Hopefully to find a cure or otherwise medicine that can shrink stuff. So,
there you go.
Yeah. That's the general thing. If you want to, there's a link in the description. Again, for every dollar donated, that is a minute of mustache growth on my face. And, you know, enjoy. You're welcome.
Yes, I am so excited because Isabel here in office, who is a phenomenal artist, was able to basically mock up, if you will, an image that might demonstrate what you could look like.
Indeed,
fully mustachified.
It would take a very many number of minutes, I think, to get to this level of mustache, but one can dream.
The thing that I hope for is the world where you have like twisted off on the sides, like the very like beeswax or I don't even know how people accomplish it.
I don't know how they do it either.
You know, I mean, to have a mustache, I mean, it's like, it's almost like you're growing a new part of your personality. Like, you know, like
it does seem like that.
You will be part of like a brand new club.
It will be like a statement thing, you know, it is right on my face.
Do you think it will change you?
Possibly.
I know.
The question is that like, in a world where then this would be insane, in the world where like it's like a several year sort of like it, like people like get me like several years into this worth of commitment.
Yeah.
Like if I get to the end of the timer and it's been like years, would I even want to shave it?
That's the question.
You know, or would it be like, ooh, finally, here we go. You know,
as you said that, it was like, I was like, I don't even know if it occurred to me how much I fear shaving my own beard at this point in time. Cause I'm like, I don't even know what I would look like. It's like, what if it was strange?
Yeah.
What if I shaved it off and it didn't come back?
It'll come back.
Yeah. It'll come back.
For sure.
No, this is very interesting. This also means that anybody who's coming to see us on tour will get to see you like 1 month mustachified.
I suppose so. And that's a short-term goal, right? To like force me to have a mustache on tour.
Yeah,
because like if in a world where we just get to the end of May and like the clock runs out quickly, then it's like, well, maybe I'm in the clear,
right?
But like maybe not if they get several months worth of time on me.
Right. I know. Yeah, this is gonna be
is my Christmas card gonna have a mustache in it? it.
The questions we have to ask.
I know. I'm like, part of me is like, this is so fun. And part of me is like, what am I signing up for? How is this going to go down? I have no idea.
Do you think that in, let's see, 30 years, when we're recording Popcorn Reculture,
yeah,
the brand new podcast coming 30 years from now, where we review every episode of The Pop every week as 65-year-olds.
Right.
Do you think when we get to this episode, which at that point in time, you'll be like 68, 69,
oh my
we're
gosh.
Several years into The Pop.
Right.
You know, I mean,
will people even still be listening to podcasts?
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? I assume so. Yeah. likely. And I know I'm also speaking of it as if this is a complete non-negotiable.
Right.
But like, it would be just unbelievable if like 68, 69-year-old you is like, oh my gosh, this is when the mustache started, right here.
Yeah,
I'm listening.
This was
it.
I'm listening to it.
Imagine 30 years from now, you still have it.
Yeah, that would be wild.
What a legacy.
I know, that'd be crazy if it was just like, yep, that was how it started right there. We were just doing like a little fundraiser thing, and the clock still hasn't run out. No, that would be absolutely insane. Yeah. So part of the other thing I've been considering is that like so. On Wednesday is when it will be May 1st, which is when the challenge will officially start.
Okay, Wednesday. Okay, wait. Yeah.
So I keep thinking like, should I just go ahead and like, you know, just stop shaving now, give myself a little head start,
right?
Or should I, you know, really, or because like, what if this is it? What if this is like my last shave for like a long time?
Right.
You know, should I shave on Tuesday or just sort of like let it ride from now?
I feel like you got to start official.
I know. Yeah.
I think
so too. I think so. If you're watching, you probably can't tell that I have a very light amount of facial hair going right now, but I think I will shave tomorrow and then Wednesday will be the official kickoff.
The official kickoff.
Yeah.
The beginning. And this is going to be so interesting.
I have no idea how it's going to look either. It is like, this is going to, it could, yeah, we'll see.
It's going to look glorious. Pure and utter glory.
Glory. Glory. Yeah. Everyone's going to come see us on the tour and they're going to be like, whoa, nice mustache. Love it.
I'm so pumped for this.
I know.
I mean, it has been something that we have been talking about lightly in office for a little while. And now my curiosity is like I said, like I did No Shave November and I definitely had like an ulterior motive where it was like, I sort of had to trick my own brain into like allowing me a scenario to do this. Is a mustache something that you feel like on some level you've like looked yourself in the mirror? Like, you know, you're like, let's say you're like washing your hands and you're kind of staring back at yourself a little bit and you're like, one day.
One day. Like not... Not really.
Okay.
It's not like I've like always aspired to have a mustache or anything. There's part of me that's like never really like grown like much facial hair at all.
Okay.
And so it's sort of like a, like, you know, I think like for a long time, you know, like when you're growing up, almost everyone like, you know, is clean shaven the entire time.
Clean shaven / cannot grow facial hair.
It isn't growing at all. Now it's like every, like, I don't know almost any, like very few adult men I know who don't have some amount of facial hair going on.
Sure.
And I'm like, am I missing, like, there's part of me that's like, I've never experienced this, like, really. And it seems almost like silly never to have done that.
Right.
You know, because it's just something your body naturally does anyway. So part of me is just like, this will be, even if I don't like it, like, yeah, I tried out a mustache for a while or something.
Yeah.
But not because I've necessarily like always thought like, boy, I sure would like to have a mustache or anything.
I like how you went like slightly Midwestern.
Yeah, right there.
It's like, want to go ice fishing this weekend or something?
I mean, you know, not necessarily. Although that does maybe transition me into a Wick of the Peak.
Oh, lay it on me.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I am curious, especially with our listeners, if anyone has seen or just even heard of a movie called Hundreds of Beavers.
I wish I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
Because my reaction would be so pure.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, if you don't know what it is.
If you don't know what it is.
Then your reaction is exactly correct.
I almost don't want to tell you anything about it so that you can go into it. But also I feel like without like prefacing it all, you're going to, it almost might seem too weird to the regular person.
Well, you've now since watched the film.
I watched it this past weekend
at length, but
Hundreds of Beavers.
You watched hundreds of them.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, so it's very interesting because you turn on the trailer for it and you're like, what? No. What? No.
Yeah.
Really?
It is so hard to describe. I have never seen anything else like it almost at all. Like, it is wholly unique. I guarantee you haven't seen another movie like this.
Yeah, it feels like, I think it's even self-described this way, but it is basically like a kind of sort of live action Looney Tunes.
A little bit, but it's like, don't think like Space Jam though.
Don't think like Space Jam.
Don't think like that.
And don't think that it's like Bugs Bunny, I don't think. Unless there is Bugs Bunny. But
No, there's not Bugs Bunny. There are like rabbits. But
Right. Yeah. So it's almost like if you were to literally like watch an episode of Looney Tunes and then live actionify it, but it has nothing to do with Looney Tunes.
It has nothing to do with that. Yeah. It is just like, it is like all in black and white, which adds to the charm. There's almost no dialogue.
Okay.
At like basically at all. So everything is like very visual storytelling, and like there is a plot to follow. Like there is things happening, but it is extremely like slapstick, but like funny. And it's like it feels like you sort of like you with the main character are like learning the rules of the world that he's in, which is like, I mean, he's not like in a make-believe world. Well, I don't know. That's maybe hard to say. It's like you're learning the rules of the game, basically. And like he's basically trying to survive in the wilderness and like hunt animals. But like when I say animals, like it is clearly people in giant beaver costumes, right? Like they are, for the sake of the movie, they are that animal, right? Or it is like a rabbit he's trying to catch, but it is a guy in a bunny suit, you know?
So, was your takeaway from the movie though? Because like, I mean, you're calling it your Wick of the Peak.
Yeah.
Does that mean you like thoroughly enjoyed it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It is hilarious and so funny and creative in ways like I haven't like seen in years. And I want everyone to watch it because I want to talk about it with people.
I know that feeling. Yeah.
It is so different from anything I've ever seen. But like the whoever made it has such a sense of humor about them. And it's like the way they use the humor to build the story and like establish the rules of how things are going to work. And it's like every time you think you're like, oh, okay, I understand how this thing works. Like the guy would be like, okay, I think I get how it works now. Let me try it this way. New problem will happen. And it's like the number of things they'll have to like overcome in like, it's like learning the rules of like this like slapstick Looney Tunes style world.
It makes me imagine in a world where like, because I mean, it's such common advice that people might give, but it makes me think that somebody like went to film school, they sat down in like their 101 class and the teacher was like, all right, first of all, don't take yourself too seriously. And this person was like, got it. I'm done. I know what I'm doing. Like, yeah. It's like, I officially will not take myself too seriously. Like to the extent of like the most raw version of not taking yourself too seriously you can possibly imagine.
Right. Yes. And it's just, it's so funny. And look it up. Hundreds of beavers.
Okay.
I guarantee you've seen nothing like it, but please watch it.
Homework.
I would not be opposed, Ben, to having like a dedicated like popcorn culture episode that is just us talking about Hundreds of Beavers.
I don't hate it. Okay. I don't hate it.
If we're going to do that though, people have homework and they need to go watch it.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. Sounds good. Okay. Okay. Transition. Okay.
Transition. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Arena Club. Okay, so y'all may be aware that we are pretty big fans of collecting Pokemon cards, meaning we have opened tons and tons of cards, but never have we opened cards the way you can with Arena Club. So here's how it works. Arena Club offers what's called slab packs, and the whole experience, top to bottom, is absolutely thrilling because what they do is put together this huge selection of cards, then they list all of the available cards you could potentially open so you know the pull rates, and then you digitally open your packs to reveal your latest pulls. And like, here is us genuinely opening up our last pack.
What is it? Oh my god, dude, it is literally the one we tried to open for earlier this week.
That is so crazy.
On. What makes it fun is even though you're opening them digitally, whatever you open is your physical card. So after you crack the pack, they'll display them in your own personal showroom where people can like make trade or purchase offers, or you can have that physical card shipped right to your home, which is what we've been doing because we love like displaying our Pokemon cards in our collection stuff. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or just displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have got to check out. So right now you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/poppop, which, wow, that's a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's $40 right there. But anyway, that's arenaclub.com/poppop for 10% off your first purchase.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Okay, so story time. Since the day that I met my wife, Alice, she has been all about secondhand clothing. So 2 years ago, we decided to take that idea and run with it and open a business called Nude. It's like the past tense of new because it's not really old, but you know, nude. Old is the new nude. You get it. Anyway, we'd both been in business, but she was hung up on how to start selling online. But fortunately, I had experience with Shopify, and to tell you that we got started in no time is a straight up understatement. We were busy being brand new parents to a 6 month old. We both have other jobs. And within 2 weeks of idea conception, we had the website up and running. So if you're on the fence, whether it's in the like launch your online shop stage to the first real store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Plus, even if you do have questions, Shopify's award-winning help is there to help support your success every step of the way. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/poppop. Popcorn Culture is supported by Fiji Water. Okay, y'all, it is summer, and for me personally, that means it is finally the season to use the brand new boat, where, of course, hydration is key because it is super hot out there, and we will be doing that with Fiji Water because it really is from the islands of Fiji. Drop by drop, Fiji Water collects in a sustainable, ancient, artesian aquifer 1,600 miles away from the nearest continent, protected and preserved naturally from external elements. As the water filters through the volcanic rock, it collects a unique profile of electrolytes and minerals, resulting in more than double the electrolytes as any other top two premium bottled water brands, giving Fiji Water its soft, smooth taste. And gosh, soft. I love that descriptor because it is so exactly spot on. If you've ever drank Fiji Water, it is soft water to drink. And unlike some of the other premium bottled waters, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji Water really is Earth's finest water, and since 2022, its 330-milliliter and 500-milliliter bottles have been produced in 100% recycled plastic, so you can feel proud of your choice in bottled water. Get stocked up on Fiji Water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today for your next backyard party, hike, beach, pool, or lake day. It's not just water, it's Fiji Water.
All right, I feel like I've been doing a lot of talking here, so why don't you talk? Because it looks like you have some notes in here about Addy being super independent.
Shoot. Okay, yeah. So let me pull my notes up so I can phrase this correctly. Because Addy, basically, the way I would describe parenting Addy has been straight up fascinating. Because I feel like she turned two, and it was almost as if like that was like going from one book to the next book, like in a series. Mm-hmm. And it was just sort of like growth happened because you closed one cover and opened the next one. Uh-huh. And she just like immediately became like a lot more like vocal, a lot more capable, a lot more active. Like she has like opinions and thoughts and like, you know, things that she wants to do, things she doesn't want to do. And it's been really interesting. But the really, really, really big thing that I'm like, I am trying to balance right now with Addison is she is absolute, like independence is very, very important to her. Mm-hmm. So it's like when we go out to the car at any point in time, like she wants to, like we can open the door But from that point, she wants to get in the car by herself and then climb like up onto like the bench next to the car seat and then climb into the car seat by herself. And then she will allow you to put her arms through the straps, but then she wants to like, and she calls it click.
Yeah.
She's like, click, you know, and like she wants to click all of the car seat buttons into place.
Okay.
And then I'm allowed to tighten it, of course, because she has to be tightened into going there for safety reasons. But it's like, it's one of these things where I'm really, really like, I can't tell how much, like, it's this thought of like permitting her to have things her way.
Right.
You know, which is sort of like one of those things where you it's like, I don't want her to always feel like she gets to, you know, like, establish and or like make the rules as to like how things unfold, like, because there are certain times where it's like we all have to play by the rules of something greater than ourselves.
Oh right, yes, you know, like eventually, like these are the rules of society at some point.
Yes,
or
exactly.
These are the laws. Yeah,
right. Yeah, it's like, you know, if you're at Disney World, just because you want to like drive the bus doesn't mean you get to tell the driver to get out of his seat and you get to drive the bus because you're so independent that you want to do it yourself.
Right.
You know, so it's like there are like limitations to it, and it does feel like it's started in these like small little areas where like getting in and out of the bathtub is like another one where it's like if you know, like we get her undressed, like put her in the bathtub, if you like pick her up and put it in there, she's like she's not happy about that. Like she will ask you to like take her back out so that she can climb into the bathtub on her own.
Oh okay.
So yeah. Like we've like repeated like a lot of like actions in the name of like allowing her to, as she says, have do it.
Mm-hmm.
I get to have do it.
Yeah, you get to have do it, of course.
But that's the thing, is that it's like on the one hand, it's sort of like I like the fact that she sort of has this like very like independence mindset, and she's like determined to do things like for herself, and she like wants to, because the only thing holding her back from doing most of it is that she doesn't quite have like the physical dexterity to move through like all these motions on her own. So it's like sometimes she needs like a little bit of help, but not a lot of help, but otherwise it just takes a long time. And so from my end of things, like I can practice a lot of patience with her, so I don't mind that it takes like 4 minutes from the moment we open the car door till the moment that I can shut the car door, because that's how long it takes for her to climb into the vehicle on her own,
right?
Climb up onto the bench, get situated, go through the process of putting on the harness or whatever. Like I don't mind being patient with her, but it's like it's the thing that I'm like so torn between is it's like I can't tell whether or not I'm giving her too much of like too much leeway over how things play out.
Yeah, I don't think for like stuff like that, I don't think so.
Okay, that's
good. That sounds totally fine. Like if she wants to do that by herself, that's fantastic. I wish my kids would be like, oh, I'm gonna go buckle myself in the car.
Right.
You know,
yes.
Luke will most of the time do it, but sometimes like he knows it's something that like he has identified that like we can't leave until I'm buckled in. And so he's like, he knows like it would be helpful if I did it, but if I don't feel like doing it, I can like just like make you do it because we can't leave.
Right.
You know? Right. So I was like, Luke, he very much wants like control of the situation.
Yes.
And it's like,
yes.
If he decided to do it, great. But if you want him to do it, I'm not controlling that. I'm doing what you want to do. Yeah. So, very, very tricky. But like, yeah, getting stuff like that, I would encourage, my thought would be to like encourage that kind of independence. And it's sort of like gently guide correctly. And if you have to say no about some things, then, you know, maybe you do. Or I can imagine like if you're like in a real hurry, it's like, okay, do we need to wait 4 minutes? Like, I'm just going to do it this time or something. That's where it's like maybe a little harder or something.
That is definitely the case. Like, so I experienced it in most full force the weekend a few weeks ago where the girls were out of town, where I was just constantly getting in and out of the car with her because we had like everywhere I went, like, you know, she comes with me everywhere. So like every single thing I had to do, we went through this procedure. And that weekend was great because I was in no rush ever. It was just sort of like, this is me and Addie, like weird is here, like, you know, this is no problem. Yeah. We got this. So like there is a little bit of like our like swim lessons, for example, just got moved to like 5:45. So it's like normally like I leave work and then I have to get home from work, get changed myself for the swim lessons because I have to get in the pool with her.
Yeah.
And like then go through the process of getting her in the car to drive to the swim lesson. So it's like, it's a very small amount of time from the moment I leave work, get home, get her dressed, get me dressed, and then get out to the car. So it's like, those are the moments where you're rushing. But now she's so acclimated to like getting, like for us to take this time, that it does become like very explosive,
right,
if we don't take it.
Right.
And so that's maybe like one of those where, for the most part, I don't mind being patient. Like I can take all the time in the world. I'm not in a hurry. And so it's not a big deal for me for the most part. But those are the situations where it's like that's like the fine line that I think that you're trying to like navigate between a little bit. Is like, you know, if everybody gets to do everything the way they want all the time, that's like anarchy. You know, yeah. like the society relies a little bit on all of us abiding by like an agreed upon set of parameters. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I mean, there's a lot of growth, a lot of learning that happens between 2.5 and like, you know, when she's driving a car,
right,
or any of those types of things. Lots of more maturity will happen,
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's been like my big toss up. Like, I'm so like, I'm honestly very impressed with her. I'm very proud of her, for this like super independent, you know, mindset about things. But it's wild how it went from the car seat to the bathtub to like, you know, pouring, you know, we have like the bubble water is what we call it, but we make like the soda stream.
Oh yeah.
You know, carbonated water at home. You know, she like wants to like pour her own, like, mm-hmm. everything has become, or like if we're like making like her dinosaur egg oatmeal in the morning, it's like she wants to like tear the bag and like pour it in the bowl and like, you know, press the button on the microwave and like,
right.
You know, it's a very like, you know, how many things can we like permit her to do versus like the, I guess the otherwise like efficiency of things.
Yeah. Yeah. I've come across a lot of the stuff too. Cause like sometimes, like, I think I talked about this before, like even just making my kids breakfast or whatever, like when we were growing up, it was like, you know, every day you went downstairs and you had cereal and that was it.
Yes.
You know, and it was great. And I'm like, I'll come downstairs and I'll be like, you know, oh, what do you guys want for breakfast? And I'll get three different answers and I'm like, well, great, now I have to make cereal and sausages and, you know, ham biscuits.
Yeah.
And it's like, and sometimes like it's interesting because like if I didn't ask, like I asked them, so like I gave them the independent choice,
yes.
to ask them, whereas like if I just like if they're just like over there and I just like microwave up like a bunch of sausages and I'm like, boys, breakfast,
right,
you know, like they will also just come over and eat it,
right,
you know, like, so there's sometimes like, like where is the line on what's like, you know, you being more efficient versus like you offering them up? Because like another thing is like Luke, when like we have these little like bento box lunch boxes.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
I think I got the same ones because you guys had them.
Yes. Yeah. And they're great. You can just fill them up with stuff and they're good because you don't have to use like bunch of Ziploc bags or anything. You just, right. pour the object in and it keeps it all nice and airtight and stuff. And that's great. So it's like a little less wasteful and it like pre-portions stuff out, which is all, it all seems like, what could you not like about this? But what you could not like is that the other kids at school don't use these.
Oh,
and
sure.
So Luke, yeah. comes home and he wants, you know, He wants like a more traditional lunchbox situation with like Ziploc bags and stuff. And it's like, it's not really like a huge deal, sure. or anything. You know, we just put the sandwiches in there and you can put other stuff. Yeah, you know, it hasn't been like an enormous deal, but like this past weekend, you know, Beth was like, she like trying to pack everything ahead of time and she had all the bento boxes out and was like, maybe I'll just like give it to him and when he gets the lunch he'll open it and discover that like, oh, it's not that big a deal,
right?
But as she's packing them, I'm like, oh, are you packing lunches? And like Luke turns around from the other room and is like, what? I don't want the bento box. I don't want the box.
Oh, you know,
and
it's, man.
Like it's like you know how it would have gone down where like, had he not known and just arrived at lunch, it wouldn't have been a big deal.
Right. Because
he's not going,
right.
to freak out in front of his friends. And she's like, you just eat the food.
Right.
You know,
right, yeah.
It's like, and then you get home and it's like, no big deal. Right. Wasn't that okay? But it's like, now that you've introduced the ability to make a choice, it's like, that's where the like, oh no, this is the tricky part.
Yes.
So it's like, yeah. it's almost like, and you're not like being, it's like one of those things where I think we talked about this before too, where it was like, you know, like it's just a win-win if you don't present them with the option, because it doesn't actually matter.
Sure.
What is in there. It's like, does every child need to have ownership over the style in which their lunch is packed? Like, no, they, right. don't, you,
right.
know,
like, you know, it's so funny too, though, because I do remember going through like similar phases myself, like where like, I would have entire school years where I would be like a lunch packer, and then I would have entire school years where I was like a lunch buyer.
Yeah.
And it was like, it would like alternate back and forth. And I think I remember like back to school shopping, I always really enjoyed a kid. Cause you know, you got to go and you got to like pick out like your markers and your pencils and like, you know, the folders, like which characters, you know, you can have Spider-Man on your like little take home folder or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, there was like lots of like fun decisions that you can make, but I always really liked like going and picking out like the lunchbox, because you know, they're like the lunchbox aisle where there's like all these like different shapes and forms, and you know, like some of them have like a cooler in the bottom, so they're like a little ice pack in case you want to like, you know, bring something extra special or something like that. But I do remember, you know, so I loved picking out the lunch boxes for a really long time. And then I think like once I got to high school, everybody started packing like the traditional like brown paper bags.
Right.
And all of a sudden I was like, well, now I want the brown paper bag. And it's like, there's like no technology to a brown paper bag at all compared to, you know, everything that like a lunchbox has to offer.
Yeah.
But I didn't want a lunchbox anymore. I wanted the brown paper bag.
Yeah.
And right. So then that's just pretty much what I did for the rest of my high school career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had the brown paper bag.
Yeah.
There you go. That's pretty much what I did in high school as well.
Right. Yeah. So, but that's so funny though, because it's like, I wouldn't have thought that it like, that I'd be able to like relate or be like understanding, but it's like, no, there was a point in time where I was like, no more lunchbox, only brown paper bag.
Right. And it's like, but I do remember some kids like also like that was maybe more the thing, like the brown paper bag or whatever, but there were still some kids who like would have like a physical thing, and they would even have like, you know, Tupperware with like stuff inside.
That's true too.
And you would like get out, and it was like, oh yeah, like I made a salad at lunch. It was like, oh well, that's impressive too.
Yeah, that seems impossible.
Right. Yeah.
Like a little like ceiling ramekin for like your ranch dressing you can like pour over it. Like that's so wild.
I know. Look at that. My goodness.
Super high tech.
I know. And so it's like, I think whatever, like the truth is like whatever you start doing will eventually just become normal to all of your friends. But it is easy to feel like alienated in the moment.
Oh, for sure.
Either way, the point, I think the point is like, you could probably like, if you just like put a ready bowl of oatmeal in front of Addison, I wonder how much she would be like, but wait, I wanted to push the buttons and tear the bag, you know?
I know. And it's like, I'm like split. Like, cause part of me is like, maybe it would just go fine. And I'll just try it.
Yeah. Like that's the thing. You just try it. If it's like, if it is a really big deal, then it's like, well, whatever.
Right. Right.
You know, maybe just go with it.
Right.
Yeah, that's tricky. I'll tell you what, I feel like I have like an adjacent scenario.
Okay.
Going on. Lay it on me. Yeah. So, we have like several trees in our front yard.
Okay.
And there has been like one tree in particular that for a long time has been like the one they've more climbed in, but like here recently, cause it's got like just big open branches and stuff. And it seems like it looks like a climbing tree.
Right.
Right. And so they're climbing that one some. But here in like the last week or so, they've realized that there's another tree, which looks like, I don't even know how to just like how to describe it, but it's like got, I mean, it is, it's like more like cone shaped, like just green leaves all over the place. Not like an evergreen or something.
Okay.
But like, I don't know, I guess it's green in the winter. Maybe it is. But anyway, like Nick and Nate and Luke have realized that they can climb up just the center of this tree.
Okay.
Like you can't go out on the branches because they're too thin or anything, but they can climb right up the center of it. And like, they almost like disappear inside of it while they're climbing it. Cause it's like such a thick tree.
Right.
Yeah. It almost looks like a really tall bush or something that they're climbing.
That's okay. Yeah. I'm literally thinking about the front of your house, and I'm like, what tree is this?
I know. Like, I would not have thought in a million years that, like, oh yeah, they'll climb this tree.
Right.
But they are. And because it's like almost so thick, even if you were to like somehow like fall, it's almost like you almost really can't fall that far because it's like there's so many branches. But like, I'm out there the other day and I'm watching them, and like they're just like almost near the top, you know? And I'm like, it seems pretty high, you know? Like,
as a parent, I should know when it has gone too far.
When it's gone too far.
And here I am, and I'm staring at it, and it's like, it feels like the line could be crossed, but I don't know. Why don't I know? Am I supposed to know?
Exactly. And I'm like, part of me is like, it feels like I should tell them not to go that high. And then the other part of me is like, man, look how high they're going.
You know? Right. You know, like, yeah, it's like, way to go.
Like, way to go. You guys are crushing it out here. You're getting so high up there. You know, and I'm like, could they fall? And I'm like, it seems like even if they fell, they couldn't really fall. You know, they just get stuck in the tree.
Man, like, I know. Now I'm having like total flashbacks. I don't know if you remember growing up, but like there was a row of trees that divided our backyard from our neighbor's backyard.
Yeah, Mom Scott's yard. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. And the one that you mowed. That was huge.
That was huge.
Yeah. But I mean, I think that there was a tree in there that at some point in time I realized I could go all the way to the top of and like look out over top of the tree.
Right. I mean, you'd be like 20 feet in the air.
Easily.
At least.
Yeah. If not, maybe even a little bit higher.
Right.
But I do remember that, like, that was a thing where it was like, you know, I'm not sure if I can make it to the next branch. And like one day I was like old enough to, and I was like, I can make it to the next branch.
I can make it.
And like, so, you know, I would just go up there and like perch sometimes. And right. I would just like sit and like watch nature unfold as you do as a seven-year-old.
There's such a confidence when you're a kid about climbing a tree. It's like if you're an adult on the ground, you of course you're like, don't fall. But like to you, the kid in the tree, like laughable. How could I fall? What are you talking about? I'm holding the branches.
Right. It's like, what do you think? I'm going to like spontaneously stop holding the branches?
Yeah. What do you think is
going to
happen? Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to fall. What are you crazy? Which I'm sure people fallen out of trees plenty of times.
Yeah. But, yeah. I think it's a very common broke my arm falling out of a tree.
Yeah.
Story.
Yeah. For sure it is. Like, that's the thing. Even if they felt like, I don't know. So I'm like, where is the line between like, I'm proud of you for being so courageous and that's too dangerous? You know?
Right. I know. That's a good point. And honestly, it's like, I think a lot about like our more like teenage years where I think we fought with this line basically constantly.
All the time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Like I even remember there was like a video that I think one of us took on like a flip phone of GMA Mike like running and sliding across the ice at our friend John's pond.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with said video?
Maybe not.
He sprints across the field, jumps onto the ice and just like physically slides all the way across.
Right.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, it's like it's
but
like,
what if the ice broke?
You know, it's like, you want to know where ice is less strong? The middle.
In the middle.
You want to know where he was? The middle.
The middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moving fast.
Right.
Far away from any of
but
us.
It's like, I feel like I'm sure if you're like Mike out there, you're like, there's not a chance in the world this is breaking.
I know.
Right. It's so obvious to you that you're safe.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's even, I've told the story about the time that I was fairly certain that I died.
Yeah.
And to this day, you know, like I'll like relive the moment, and like sometimes I'll just be like sitting on the couch at night and have like a shudder like wave through me, and like Alice is like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I just relived the backflip again.
Yeah.
But the small story was that, like, you know, we growing up, like, we would go to like these like rocks to jump off of.
Yeah.
And they would get like kind of progressively higher and higher, and I think the mantra I sort of like started to adopt was like, it's scary but not dangerous, because like the act of like stepping off of the surface and like falling through the open air, you know, can be intimidating, of course, but like there's water down there. I'm not so high that like the impact is going to be like potentially damaging, even if I like do it poorly.
Right. And like you might have like a big uncomfortable red slap.
Yes. Right. Yes. It's like, you know, worst case scenario, you have a terrifically bad belly flop or a back flop or something, which is ultimately what eventually did happen to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that I was like taking that mentality and like drawing too much string out of it.
Yeah.
And at some point there's no sweater left.
At some point, the water is not as forgiving. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I think there's a movie with Ashton Kutcher where he's like learning to be like a rescue diver.
And yeah.
They say like at a certain distance when you jump into water, it's like landing on concrete.
Right.
And I don't know that I quite found that.
Yeah.
But maybe not far off.
Not far off. Yeah.
Because basically I was like, everything's fine. It's just water. It's like a pillowy surface for me to land upon.
Right.
And so at some point I basically like from, I think 50 feet, I went to do like a backflip out into this like ravine, which when I even think about the danger of what I was doing, I'm like, why wasn't someone there to tell me not to?
I don't even know if we necessarily knew what you were going to do. Like, you just sort of like, cause I jumped first, but I just jumped, you know, feet first, landed on my feet,
even that
stared exactly at where I was going to land the whole time.
Yes. I still, from the spot that we did it, I would still not even do that.
I know, like sometimes I think back, I'm like, that was so dumb. Why'd we do stupid things?
Why'd we do stupid things? But we did.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, but we did. You're right.
Anyway. Yeah. So I basically teed myself up and was, you know, I was just like, I'll just stand backwards, jump out into the ether and see what happens. My hands are sweating. Just saying.
Oh my gosh.
You know,
I know, and
through the air, I did my full rotation, and then I rotated a little bit more, and then I landed flat on my back.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was like my entire body, like every single thing hurt. Like, you know, I mean, it was like my, it was almost like, you know, if you were to like go and do like arm day, you know, and like do like a whole bunch of like, you know, curls or something, mm-hmm. you know, your biceps might be sore the next day.
Yeah.
It was like that, but like all of it,
right.
you know, like my quads, my calves, my shoulders, my knees, like everything hurt.
Yeah.
It was just like utter soreness. So I think my body just like, just, I don't know, so much tension, whatever, but way too dangerous. Would not do it again. But I do think it like spawns from exactly what you're talking about now. I feel like I made everything you said your kids are doing seem a lot more dangerous.
Yeah, all of a sudden. I know.
How big is this tree, Jay?
How big is this tree? Yeah, not that big.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I feel like they're okay. That's the other thing is like you're staring at them, they perceive no danger.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, you can just do it. It's right. fine.
It's not whatever. Big deal. Yeah.
We got it. So I think mostly it's okay.
Mostly
what they're doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think they've crossed the line just yet, but it's like what behavior are you growing in them to think like, oh yeah, like this, it's like, it's pretty safe. Like they're okay climbing the tree, but like, where do they take that mentality next?
Right. You know? Right. Yes. Right.
Is the question.
Because I mean, it's actually, I heard someone on a podcast the other day describe it really well, but it's like the act of going through like your teenage years, especially where it's like, you might be starting to like bump and grind a little bit, like with like the philosophies of like your parents and like the rules that they're laying down. And, you know, it's like, it's interesting because the way that this person described it was that it was both your responsibility as a teenager to try to like find the boundaries of like how far you can push things and that type of thing. And then it's the parents' job, an exhausting one, to constantly maintain those boundaries and try to keep you like well within it. And like
right.
the relationship between those two builds like an equilibrium that hopefully ideally would work. But it's like chafing at that age is, it's almost like by design. It's like, it is meant to happen. It needs to happen. Like,
right.
You know, somebody is trying to break out of the boundaries and somebody is trying to maintain boundaries. It's like a weird game,
right.
A weird dance.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, that's really interesting because it never occurred to me, because it is a battle. Like, you know, it's like if you were to allow a teenager to do every single thing they wanted to do, they would just live a very reckless existence because they just haven't quite learned what not to do yet.
Right.
In the same way that I think we're describing now.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It is so frustrating how difficult it is to simply listen to other people sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like the number one teacher is experience. And it's just like, sometimes you'll have an experience and you'll be like, that's what they meant.
You know?
And you'd be like, should have listened.
Right.
Turns out I did know that lesson. I just hadn't experienced it yet. You know,
yes.
Like someone could like tell you what the end result will be. And you could just be like, yeah, I don't think so. Nah.
Growing up is definitely learning over and over again. How often it's like, oh, they were right. Turns out they actually had a pretty good
point.
Cause if I kept, that's like what I always think about. Like, that's even worse is that like I failed that backflip. And that was like the moment where it was like, I'm not doing this anymore. This is dangerous. Like, and I think for a while there, I probably was irritating to be around because the only thing I wanted to do was go jump off stuff.
Not necessarily irritating, but there was like a, like, I remember for a while you had this like big, like I could watch the map in your mind, like going, we were like, we should go around and make like rope swing videos about like all the different places you can go in Virginia and do
and
like link them all together and have a website and have like QR codes and videos about how to get to the line. And it was just like I could tell in your brain, it all made complete sense.
Yes.
And like how it should work and like what you could do. And it was just like, you know, but like, I don't know. It also was like, it sounds like a fun idea, but also maybe a little unfeasible, like to go and like install permanent signage at a bunch of different random outcrops around the state with, you know,
I think that this was like a very like high school brain Ben, like, I mean, and to be fair, I was out of college, but I would still describe it as like, I don't think that I would have thought that my, like, anything that I could come up with could have such implications or even potential, like, because that's the other thing I think that, like, I would look back on that idea now and be like, it's probably not smart to advise people to unauthorized rope swings because they could be dangerous.
Sure.
And so by leading people to those locations, it's like you have now become somewhat liable to whatever happens at those locations. Right. You know, it's like even if you were to get away with doing it, it probably would mean, in certain instances, it might mean like trespassing on somebody's private property, where like it just so happens to be that like there's a well-trodden path and people go to like the rope swing because, like, you know, as long as they don't spot you, like, who really cares? You know, right. It's like, you know, I think as that version of me, I couldn't think of implications greater than anything that would be like seismic, that right. would have like reverberations. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I mean, it was just like all I ever wanted to do on the weekends was go and do like rope swings, or go find like a waterfall to jump off of, or like a natural swimming hole somewhere. And like, I mean, I think I chased it pretty hard, mm-hmm. you know, like we did a lot of this type of stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
And it was great for the gram back yeah. in the day. You know, yeah. it's like there was always a really cool, I actually won, there used to be a phone case company called LifeProof.
Yeah.
And I remember I won a contest with LifeProof, I think in like 2014, because there's a picture of me like jumping off of like a cliff, and there's a huge waterfall behind me,
right?
And it's just like a perfectly framed, you know, like photo.
I just got like full body, like
I know,
like,
I know,
thinking about jumping off this exact spot because I know exactly which one it was. And it's like, I remember in order to do this one, like it curved in this like yes. very slow hill.
I hate that you brought
like,
that part
I
up.
I know, yeah. And it's like in order to do it, you had to like sort of be running downhill and take like one step onto the steep part so that you could do it. And it's like, if you didn't get the step right, like you might not have the oh man,
yeah,
just describing it is like giving me the willies. And I'm like, why do we do these things?
No, I know. And that's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. Cause you're right. Like, it's like, it could be slippery. It could right, be yeah. like, you know, you could trip, like you know, pull a muscle in your leg or something, you know, it's like things that probably won't happen, but they could happen. And right. if they did happen, the end result would be terrible.
Yeah.
And just so dangerous. And so anyway, I think what I was going to say though was that like that's like the limitation learning thing, where it was like I was like with all the backflips, I was going higher and higher and higher. So like, you know, I started like a 10-foot one, then it was like a 15, then 20, 30, whatever. It's like I got myself up to I think the height we were jumping from, we had calculated just by like dropping a stone, calculating the time it fell, and then like putting it into
science.
Like a calculator. Yeah. It's like, yeah, doing like a little bit of like Martian, you know, science or whatever. It's like, okay, yeah, approximately 50 feet or whatever. But like, I'm always like, what if I had stuck the landing? You know, it's
oh,
like,
right. Yeah.
It's
where like, would you be now?
I know. It's like, would I have just kept going? Because like higher than that, it's like, it probably already was too dangerous, mm-hmm. let alone how dangerous it could have gotten.
Right.
If it continued.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just like, whoo, that's like one of those where it's like, it's so hard because I mean, even people talk about it. They're like, you feel so invincible, like during certain stages of your life. And it's like, you're right. I did not think anything bad could happen.
Right.
And yet,
I
keep bringing this back to your kids climbing the tree, though, and I feel like I took it in a direction that was like way too dastardly. And I'm like, I don't know that climbing a tree is necessary. That feels like a childhood rite of passage, like kids climb trees.
Kids climb trees, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, there's probably limits, and if I don't even know which tree you're talking about, it can't be so massive.
It's not that massive. It doesn't seem that massive, and I'm impressed that they even figured out you could climb this tree. That's the other thing. I'm like, I admire your creativity and your courage to go up it.
Right.
And like, because the other one, like the other tree they were climbing before that, like you needed to be a little bit taller to get into like the bottom branch, and this one they figured out, like it's also like a problem solving thing. It's like, oh, we're not tall enough to do that one, but I, you know what, if I just wade into this tree a little bit, I can climb the whole thing,
right?
And it's like, I admire what they've done, and it's like like I like that they're not necessarily afraid to climb up it, and it's like they're not. It doesn't look that dangerous, other than the fact that they are high off the ground. But it's like you almost couldn't fall for hitting the branches. You
right,
know?
Right, right. You just get like, tangled in the
you
branches.
You just get tangled before you hit the ground. It's like, it's such a weird tree. I was like, I've never climbed a tree like this before. They're just going right up.
That's wild. Yeah.
So
yeah. Well, there you go. So I don't know if we've learned anything on this particular. Yeah,
I don't know either. Well. So this is another one where like Nate will sometimes be like on the stairs, and they'll like, you can tell they're like trying to figure out like, how many stairs can I jump and land on the floor without hitting the other stairs?
Yes.
You know,
this is me. Yeah.
Oh,
that, yeah.
Oh yeah. Yes. So like, you know, they could probably get like four stairs, but I've seen Nate like really thinking about like six, you know,
yeah.
He'll be up there. And if someone's like standing at the bottom, he's just like, full send, you know, and like, I have to like catch him. And it's like, I don't know. But then like, and I think like, guys, you were just absolutely going to get hurt doing this. Like I, you know, what am I allowing right here? Like, cause again, part of me is just like, I wonder if he can make it, you know? I'm like curious, but I'm like, don't get hurt. But then, like, I remember at the house we grew up in, like the stairs were like an L shape, you know, you went like maybe like 3/4 of the way up, and then it took like a right turn. In my mind, it seems a lot higher, but it couldn't have been that high because, you know, it's only going up one floor.
Right. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Felt like a lot of stairs, but like I remember being able to stand at the very top of the stairs and jump all the way down to the landing. Ooh. Which, you know, was like, I think like 10 stairs or something.
I would have guessed, you know? Yeah, approximately, maybe, like, maybe at least eight.
And like I remember doing that, and I'm like, maybe they were like shallower steps or something, because it seemed like a lot of steps to get up to the top. I don't know, but I remember doing that, and I'm like, that's just what my kids are doing now, and I did it, and I was fine, you know?
Right. I'm like,
did mom and dad know I was doing it? I don't know.
Right.
I did it, though. I'll tell you what. I was flying.
Boundary testing.
I know. And then I'm thinking about, like, how much landing zone did I have here? Because it's just like a little square, and I would jump from the top moving forward pretty fast. Like, how was I not hitting the wall, you know?
Here's the real question, is whether or not we're all born with a certain amount of luck.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. we all use our luck.
As kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's sort of like, all right, you know, these are the people who win the lottery. It's like, they saved some, you know, from childhood.
Yeah.
It's like, they didn't do anything crazy. They didn't jump down the stairs. So they get to win the lottery.
Exactly.
You know, it's like I wonder, it's, I don't know. Yeah. Cause it is like, it's remarkable. The things we tried and the things that didn't go wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is sometimes when I think about it.
Anyway, we're just doing our best.
We're just doing our best, man.
We're doing our best. You anyway, know? If anybody has any thoughts on how to balance boundary setting and or independence, be sure to let us know by sending in your feedback to popcornculturepod@gmail.com.
Right.
And don't forget that you can make Jay grow a mustache, which I really think is something that as many people as are willing should get fully and completely on board with, because I am deadly curious. I might have to set up an email address so I can subscribe to our own newsletter and you know, add a minute to the equation.
Again,
you know?
you can just follow me on Instagram, sign up for the newsletter. Those are your free minutes, or you can just donate to our sarcoidosis fundraiser page.
Yes, which is gonna be super great. And of course, you know, also, you know, our dad, inspiration for the cause in particular. Yeah.
This is up to you guys, and like there is no upper limit. Okay, so. You know, who know? I don't know. Part of me is so nervous because, like, I've seen other Instagram pages before. It's like, oh yeah, I'm running an inch for every new follower I get, and it's like they start out with like, you know, 10 inches on day 2, and then they're like, day 30, I'm up to like 12 miles. You know, and it's doing that every day now?
You know? Yeah, it's like at some point now, it's like, yo, you're not gonna be able to run a marathon.
I know,
every day.
Right? Yeah. At some point, like, where does it stop? So I'm like, I don't know, but like, yeah, there is, you know, it could. Part of me is like, could this be years? Could it be years? I don't know.
That's the thing. Yeah. Like when you first posed the question to me, I was like, I have no idea.
I know. Like, cause part of me was like, yeah, a minute for follower. I was like, boy, I was like, that feels pretty generous. And sometimes I'm like, well, you know what? I'm not even going to get to the end of May. This is going to be, I've completely undersold. And then other times I'm like, I'm going to be 40 with a mustache. That's what's going to happen.
Did you have to run this by Beth at all?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. And she was on board.
She was on board. She thought it was funny.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
That's
so
great.
We'll see.
Oh man.
It's all down to you guys.
So at some point in time, you surely get to maintain the mustache.
I mean, yes. Yeah. I think maintenance is okay.
Okay.
For sure.
So at some point in time, there will be we have to trim, not because the challenge is over, but because otherwise I'm like breathing like, you know.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you gotta have, I mean, it's assuming we get that far, maintenance will be done.
I'm assuming we'll get that far.
You're gonna get that far.
I feel pretty good about this. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's like I'm coming up on exactly, I think, 2 years off of social media, and you're giving me a fierce temptation.
It is like sometimes I think about it and I'm like so excited for the challenge because I think it'll be fun. And then other times my heart will really start racing like, oh my gosh, what have I done?
What have I done? Have I just changed my face?
I know. Have I changed? Because that's it. It's my face.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Amazing. Okay, well, be sure to check out the show notes and all the places to make Jay grow a mustache for the month of May. It's going to be so much fun. All the links are down there. Be sure to check it out. And we're sending like a fun little newsletter on the weekly, kind of breaking down everything that happened in the world of Super Carlin Brothers from the Super Carlin Brothers website, which we've been working on for such a long period of time, and we're finally doing.
And we are doing it.
We're doing the thing.
SuperCarlinBrothers.com.
No, we have it. We have it. It's going great. Yeah, so be sure to check it out. But otherwise, guys, until next time.
Pop, pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.